station break. Probably need a battery.
We can sing a song if you want.
That's okay. Here comes Alan. He'll take care of it. Well, in the meantime, take your Bibles and turn to Esther this morning. Now, to help you find Esther, it's right after Nehemiah and right before Job. Now you know where it is. And you should be able to find it because it's got 10 chapters. That battery, this battery maybe.
Yes.
But, so, are you there yet? Well, this being latest Sunday, latest mission Sunday, you ladies do a lot pertaining to the missions for the American Baptists, in support of our missions. You meet monthly, and planning activities and so forth, not only for the women, for our church as well. And we appreciate that. We're good to go? All right. So, as you see, and I know some of you ladies have told me that Esther is your favorite book. And I know it is for Vicki Ahaus. And if you look at the book of Esther and you read the impact that she made, not only for the Jewish nation, but the position that she was placed in, being the queen of Persia, and having a cousin named Mordecai, that worked with her and guided her and encouraged her. Then she took that big step, took a big risk, and helped preserve the Jewish nation in her time. So if you'll follow along with me, in Esther be chapter 4, verse 12, and I'll read through 16. I would like to read much more of this, but at least you'll understand the significance of what took place at the right time, and God intervened and helped work His providence through her and Mordecai. Now, beginning in the first part of Esther, she learns about Haman's plot to assassinate, kill all the Jews and so forth, and she took it to the king, and he took action from there. And in verse 15, she makes this plan, her plan to intervene, and verses 15 and 16. So follow along with me with verse 12. They related Esther's word to Mordecai, and then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not imagine that you in the king's palace can escape any more than all the Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place, and you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not obtained royalty for such a time as this?" Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, "Go, assemble all the Jews who are found in Susa, and fast for me." Okay, here's the key. This is the key. This is how God works. Go and do what? Fast. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. Now, this fasting involves prayer, okay? I and my maids also will fast in the same way, and thus I will go into the king, which is not according to the law. Why? Because if they did, if I perish, she says, then I perish. Meant that her life would be taken because she went into the king, not having an invitation, a prayer notice of her coming. And then in verse 17, of course, Mordecai went away and did as Esther had commanded him. All right. I hope maybe if you have time today, spend more time in Esther reading that and getting the whole picture of what was taking place here. It gives us a better understanding how God will work in our lives today, even as we go about doing extraordinary things for God. In March 18, 2001, Keith Waters was convicted and sentenced to 20 years in prison for a crime that he did not commit. His sister, who is Judy, a dropout of school, decided to go back to school, finish her high school, and then pursue her degree in law. And she graduated, and she determined that she was going to spend as much time as she could investigating and getting all the information and reading the documents and going back, reviewing everything that had taken place at the trial of his innocence. And she spent all the necessary time in doing this. And then finally one day, as she got all the information together and she took it back to the courts, and they evaluated it and viewed Keith's statements and everything and checked it all out, they found him innocent. What a day that of celebration that was. And here a sister believed in her brother of his innocence, not having a high school because she was a dropout, and then pursued a law degree and spent as much time necessary to prove his innocence. Guess what? She was a hero in her brother's eyes. So, that brings me up to what I want to talk to you today about. Esther is a story how one person made the difference between life and death. Now, this life and death involved the Jewish nation, because Haman wanted to annihilate, take the Jews out, kill them all, so they would be extinct. So she was an orphan, Jewish orphan, who became, because of her beauty and grace, became the queen of Persia, what is now is called Iraq. How many of you knew that? Yeah, absolutely. And because of the presence of one man, Haman, the entire Jewish nation faced extinction. Now, Esther's cousin, Mordecai, begged Esther to do something about it, since she was in the position before the king to go to him, before him, to make a difference, to step out and take a risk. And of course, God was in this the whole time, because, you know, Jews are favored in the sight of God. They're his people. I mean, they're no more special than any of us, or Gentile, Jew, whatever we are. But God had a plan for them. And God still has a plan for them. He has a plan for all of us if we'll follow him. could do it. Now, when her parents died, Mordecai took her in and cared for her. Now, when King Xerxes was looking for a new queen, Esther listened to her cousin on how to win the king's favor. Now, he kind of guided her, coached her along, and said, this is how you do it. This is how you find favor before the king. And then when Mordecai found out a plot to assassinate the king, he told Queen Esther, who warned the king. But when Mordecai went to beg the Queen Esther to help, she grew afraid. She was afraid to approach the king, even though she knew of the plot that Mordecai had shared with her about the assassination of the king. Because no one in royal palace knew her true identity. No one knew that she was a Jew herself. So she was afraid, going before the king, that she would herself be killed. Now, Mordecai was asking her to do something very risky. How many of you today have done things that you know were risky, but it was the right thing to do? Nobody has. Well, it don't have to be a big thing. It can be small things. And I know I've taken risks and stepped out and said something or did something I knew that was the right thing to do. Had repercussions of it, but I knew it was the right thing to do because that's what God wanted me to do. And usually those that do that are the ones that are blessed because they are obedient to God. So everyone knew that if any man or woman would approach the king in the inner court without being summoned to the king, because that was the law, you just didn't do that, and that they would be put to death. Now, the only exception is to this is for the king to extend the gold scepter to him and that or her, and that would spare their lives. If he extended that, the gold scepter. Now, and it's been 30 days since Esther was called to go before the king. 30 days now. For this reason, Esther was afraid to approach the king lest he became angry and would have her assassinated or executed. Now, sometimes when we want to do the right thing or help someone, it's risky. Just the same way it was for Esther here. Now, I've heard a lot of people who didn't know how to swim would jump in the water and try to save someone because they didn't want them to drown. And people running into a burning building to save people, even though it was going to cost them their lives. That was a risky thing to do. See, people want to help others. You see it on TV, you know, just recently when they had the shooting there on 5th, 3rd Street. There, in Cincinnati. People showed up. They went to help. The police was there in less than 3 minutes and took care of the situation. It was a risky situation, busy time, downtown. But people were willing to take a risk when they know it's the right thing to do. Now, Esther wanted to help her people, but she was afraid at that moment in her time, in her life, to get involved. She was afraid to do it. So Mordecai had to say some things that would help change her mind. I'm sure he probably encouraging and saying, okay, if you don't do this, the Jews, all the Jews, you yourself will be executed. Mordecai had to encourage her to get her involved, to take that risk, to save herself and her family and the Jewish nation. Now, even though Mordecai never mentioned was in a place of position where that she could make a true difference. And we know people like that, don't we? You know people, and you may be that yourself. And each of us, in some time of our lives, God places us in a position where that we can do something for Him and to help someone else. And when God lays it on your mind or on your heart to do it, you need to do it then. We don't lay back and think about it and say, well, I'll do it tomorrow or next day or maybe next week. That opportunity may pass. How many of you have somebody has come to your mind, their name or the person themselves came to your mind, and God was encouraging you to maybe just call them, talk to them, encourage them, pray with them, or something like that. And maybe you did it, or maybe you didn't. If you didn't do it, you missed a blessing, because for some reason, God placed them on your mind. That's happened to me many, many times. Or to go somewhere or visit someone at a particular moment, and it was the right time and the right moment for me to be there. You see, that's the picture. That's what's going on right here between Esther and Mordecai. Now, someone told me a few years ago, and I'm trying to remember who that was, but said, Mike, bloom where you are planted. Mike, bloom where you're planted. And this means that I must allow God to use me as He has called me to be. I must grow. I must be fruitful. I must shine the light of God. Actually, shine His love and His grace wherever I go. That is what I've tried to do all these years. Sometimes we're pretty successful at it, and sometimes we're not as successful. And after thinking over what her cousin, Mordecai, said, Esther took a step of faith. After she had thought about this, and hopefully she had prayed about it, and sought God, you know, the king of Israel, their heavenly king, God, she decided to take that risk. But she wasn't going to do it alone. You know why? As we just read the scripture, she called on Mordecai. She called upon her friends. She called on the Jewish nation to do what? To fast and pray. That's what she asked them to do. She asked for their help. She asked that all the Jews in the town of Susa would fast for 3 days. And when we fast, we go to actually, if you've ever fasted, you know what that means. You go on a spiritual journey. I've done that over my life. And especially when God called me to become a pastor, I mean, I don't know, I didn't eat for days, almost probably a week. I was about starved to death, but I wanted to get God's blessing. Of course, here I am. But that's how we find out God's will. We fast, we pray until He shows us what He wants us to do. So when we fast, we wait on God. If Esther had tried to rush things and results may have been worse, we need to remind ourselves not to rush when we're trying to do things of God. We don't want to rush ahead of God. And Esther, I think, reading the scriptures and as I interpret it, she didn't want to rush before God. She wanted to think this out. She wanted to have a clear mind, a spiritual mind, an understanding how God was going to work this out. And He did. He worked it all out. See, we need each other's help. She knew she needed her friends' help, the Jewish nation's help. But she knew, especially, she needed God's help. And we need each other's help. See, Mordecai was helping her too. Esther's maids were helping her. The Jewish nation were helping her. And most important, God was helping her. He played the most important part here with Esther. And Esther is a woman of what? Impact. She impacted many, many people. She impacted the nation of Israel. So what happens now? Well, through God's timing and wisdom, Esther passes to the king. The king, who is totally in love with her, and asks for what you want. What do you need? What do you want? And he was actually in love with her. She invites the king to dinner in his honor. I want to invite you to dinner. And guess what? What's the old saying? The way to a man's heart is through his what? Stomach. Now we Baptists all know that, don't we? Yeah, we experienced that last weekend, didn't we? We had our picnic and enjoyed that. So at the dinner with evil Haman present, he was right there by their sides. Queen Esther tells the king about the plot to destroy her and the Jews. And King Xerxes orders Haman to be hanged, and the Jews are saved. What can we learn from Esther? It all worked out, didn't it? So this is what I want to share for the last few minutes. See, that was kind of a long introduction, but I wanted to bring you up to what I want to share with you the last few minutes, looking at three ways that we can learn from Esther. Not just her ladies, but everyone here today, what we can learn. See, God can use anyone, anywhere. You know that? He can use you anytime if you what? Make yourself available. See, he extends. He's always giving us an invitation to come to him. He's always giving us an invitation to get involved, do something. When I counsel young people before they get married, or before I marry them, before they get married, I give them a whole scenario of things they need to do in preparation. But I also say, you need to do something for God. You need to get involved in church. Christ needs to be the center of your life. Do something for him together. And it's very important that we do this. See, you know why? Because God loves you. He has a special plan for your life. If you haven't found out what it is, well, you need to be working on it. Don't wait till you're 100 years old and you say, well, I don't have the energy now. Well, do it while you have the energy. And guess what? God will give you the energy. If he calls you, he's going to equip you, and he's going to give you the energy. You'll be just like the Easter Energizer bunny. You'll be just going running everywhere. Your battery won't run out. So, you're here this morning because God has something special for you to do. You believe that? You're here this morning because God has something special for you to do. This congregation is here for a reason. This church is here for a reason. Our association is here for a reason. Churches are here for a reason. We have a destiny to fulfill. If we allow God to use us, we will succeed. Another thing, it's okay to take risks, as long as a good risk, as long as God is leading you in this risk. You don't want to go out and do stupid things or things that will harm you or hurt someone else. And this situation, we can just see that God was in every move, every plan that Esther and Mordecai was thinking. The thinking was coming from God, and he worked through them to accomplish this tremendous task. See, life would be so boring if we didn't take a risk, wouldn't it? If you just always want to sit in your comfort zone and not extend yourself and take a risk, it would be boring. Do you ever get bored? When do you get bored? When you're not doing anything. So keep busy. And that's why I say, keep doing something for God and you never get bored. I never got bored doing anything for God. And hopefully I can say this one of 95. Or 100. And still preaching or doing something for the Lord. Because I know he loves me and I love him. You love him and he loves you. So we need to take a step of faith, just like Esther. And if it's when we step out in faith that miracles happen. Brenda and I have had to step out on faith on a number of occasions and stuff in our life when we begin our ministry together. And God always blessed and always met our needs and always there for us and always will be. See, God wants Purcell Baptist Church to be a miracle-working congregation full of faith and power and full of the Holy Spirit. All we need to do is just connect. It's like when you want something to work that's electrical, what do? You plug it into an outlet and whammo. It works, right? Most of the time. Unless there's a flower infection in it. But in our lives, when we plug into the Holy Spirit, whammo. You know, God takes over at that point in time in our life. See, he wants us to prosper. He wants every church to prosper. But we must take risks. We must trust him with our lives and trust him with the results. So we must act and take the risk through prayer, serving, and getting on board with him. Connecting with him. Doing something for him. Okay? Now, the last thing, we need to wait upon the Lord. Isaiah 40:31 tells us that. Those who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength and mount up like wings of the eagle, walk not be weary, and run not faint. And I trust and claim that verse most of my life now, and it works. You have to wait upon the Lord. See, in years past, this was the hardest thing for me to learn. And Brenda's helped me there, haven't you? She has really helped me there. I always wanted to jump into both feet and get involved. Just do it. Get involved. Jump in. But when I moved in my own timing and not God, then I spoiled things. I would mess up what God was trying to do, what God's intention, either for my life or whatever he has called me to do. Sometimes I'd mess up if I didn't wait on him. See, I needed to learn. We need to learn to wait upon God. We need to pray. And we need to listen after we pray. That's why I like Psalm 46:10. Where God said, "Behold God, listen. Listen to God when we pray." And then we move when God tells us to move. You know, if this congregation wants to grow, we need to grow in God's timing. You can't rush it, and I can't rush it. We wait on God's timing. But we must take a risk. We must get involved. Just like Esther. If she hadn't taken a risk, if she hadn't listened to the advice of Mordecai, who encouraged her, and then the support of all of her kin, may be afraid of possibilities, may be afraid of failure, and you know that is a big factor in many people's lives, taking a risk or of failing. Look at all the successful people in this world today. Look at Abraham Lincoln. Look how many times he failed being the President of the United States. He was in law practice and all the things. Went into depression and all of that. But he came out of it and made a great success and a great career leading the nation. And I can go on and on and on for stories like that. See, fear of the unknown happens to everyone. Now, I've heard so many people say, hindsight is better than foresight. If you knew the future, then you know, you wouldn't have to worry about it, right? It's just going to turn out exactly the way you want it to turn out. But sometimes we just got to stop listening to God, behold God, and listen to Him. Fear of the unknown happens to everyone. If God is calling you to take a step of faith, do it. Don't reject it. Don't lose out on the blessings that you know that He has in store for you. Because God wants to use you to change your world. Just like Esther. Do what Esther did. Accept it, do it, and the blessing will come if you will to do it. In these books of the Bible, these people who lived their life way before we did, God is still working just like He did then, today. If we're willing to take the risk, step out on faith, and follow Him, and get involved, and do something for Him, then we will be very successful. Let our light shine. Wherever God places you, bloom. Give it your best. Give it your best. And He will bless you. Our Father God, we praise Your holy name this morning. We thank You for the book of Esther. We thank You that she was willing to take a risk. Mordecai was willing to encourage her, help her, pray with her, pray for her, along with all other supports that she had. Even though when we come up against resistance and unknown or afraid, you'll work out those details. All we got to, we just got to worry about nothing. That's what we do. And You'll take care of the circumstances. We only use our faith that You give us when we accepted Jesus Christ to make Him more Lord of our life. Lord, we thank You this morning. You extended salvation to each one of us, everyone that's here. If there's anyone here today that doesn't know You, first of all, that's a good place to start, the best place to start. The most important decision that we can ever make is to accept Your Son, Jesus Christ, as a personal Savior. Then at that point, as our faith grows, and You open up all kind of opportunities to serve You, to witness, share our life with others. Lord, this is Your invitation. You know the needs and desires of each one that's here. You know each one of our hearts. We don't know each other's heart like You do. We can only imagine that we think we know our own heart. But we don't always yield it to You, surrender it to You fully. And today, Lord, You may be asking each one of us to step out. Step out in faith and trust You for something You want us to do. Maybe in this church, in our community, in our family, and serving You in some capacity, or keep on serving